Hello, this is the Technology for Transparency podcast, an almost daily look at some of the most interesting technology projects around the world that aim to increase government transparency, political accountability, and civic engagement. We have looked at 13 different projects so far, and just about all of them were either started by bloggers or technologists who were tired of merely publishing complaints on their blogs, or by traditional NGOs and civil society organizations wanting to take advantage of new technologies. Today's case study is the first project we've looked at where an opposition political party decided to create a tool to hold up a magnifying glass to the city budget of the ruling party. In this case, the municipal budget of Tel Aviv, Israel, where Mayor Ron Huldai and his Tel Aviv One party have essentially ruled the city without any major opposition for the past 12 years. Slowly, however, that's beginning to change thanks to a new and relatively strange political party. Well, they think of themselves as a political movement called City for All. I would tell you the name in Hebrew, but my pronunciation would render it just about useless. The local movement was founded in early 2008, just 2 years ago, and it had no affiliations with national-level political parties and was more or less a loose coalition of good governance and environmental sustainability activists from the left, right, and center. Two of those early activists were Noam Hofstadter and Alon Payden. They say that in order for the opposition movement to better understand the policies of the ruling party, they needed more information about how they were spending their money.
It started from a realization of the movement that one of the first things that we need to do is to get a good understanding of the budget. And so there was a team inside Ir Lachbarana that was responsible of understanding and analyzing the budget. And the first thing we realized that if we want to make any progress in an efficient way, is we need to have some kind of computerized tools in order to find to analyze the data, but unfortunately, the municipality doesn't publish the budget in a sort of a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet, and obviously doesn't provide any tools for analyzing the budget, and it also refused our requests to have the data in such form.
It's not that the Tel Aviv municipality wasn't making their budget publicly available. In fact, the law says that they must. But they weren't publishing the information in a way in which it can be easily analyzed using a spreadsheet or database.
The problem is that you could either go through a very thick book or through a PDF file with the same book. And you couldn't really get a grip of topics that you find interesting unless they were summarized in one place, which incidentally coincided with your field of interest. So you could hardly realize what you were reading, just lines of numbers, even though the budget department does an excellent job. While now anyone can download the file from the website and just search through the budget of 2006 till 2009 and using words you prefer to find, or the budget the way it is structured, or changes between years. So it is much more accessible now. It allows you even to it visualizes the data in graphs. It's nicer.
Exporting the municipal budget as an Excel document probably would have taken municipal officials less than an hour. But for the City for All activists, to transfer the budget information from PDF to Excel format was a major technical challenge. First, they needed to use optical character recognition software to scan the text of the PDF document, which is published like an image, and automatically insert that text into a spreadsheet format. A lot of software exists to do this in English, but Noam and Alon say that it is much more difficult in Hebrew because the software is not yet mature. So in addition to using optical character recognition to automatically scan the PDF, they also organized groups of volunteers to hand-enter the information that couldn't be automatically scanned and to double-check everything.
We organized a group of volunteers that that each took part of it. And there's also another challenge is making sure that you don't have mistakes in your data.
So the volunteers went through, double-checking every item for accuracy. For those of you who are thinking, hey, my city also publishes its budget in PDF format, which makes it difficult to investigate how they spend their money, and how can I turn this into a more useful way of presenting the data, Noam says that there are three basic steps.
Get the data, transfer it to a format which can be used automatically, such as Excel, which involves, of course, checking yourself over and over again for mistakes, because this kind of project, publicly speaking, mistakes can be very embarrassing. And then there was the tool itself, which can analyze the data and summarize it according to various requests, which took many hours of programming.
I'm curious, while you were doing some of that hand entry of the data, was that also an exercise in accountability? That is, did you discover any expenses that struck you as strange, or was there any evidence of corruption or anything as you were going over the numbers?
We're both smiling because, well, there were several several items that we found out which were very interesting for us ideologically and socially. But there was one particular item in which it turned out that the Tel Aviv municipality spends $80,000 a year or $70,000 a year on milk for the working force. This is more or less the translation of this line, but this is a trivia item. But yes, we did find some interesting things. For example, comparing north and south, which is equivalent, I would guess, to north and south on the global level, budgets for some specific social services. We saw the expansion in the mayor's headquarters and his staff, and it was quite a big expense, and we brought it to the attention of the public.
Of course, on this podcast, we're always interested in how published official information actually leads to greater accountability of government officials. That is, what are the pathways that make this happen? Alon says that they depended on newspapers to spread the word.
Basically, the first thing that we did was trying to interest newspapers with this information, and it was published.
Their budget research also informed the political strategy for their opposition party, especially when the next year's budget was voted on. But this brings up an important point. Will users of the website trust its information as unbiased if it's being managed by an inherently partisan political party?
People should have an easy and efficient access to the budget so that they can themselves read through it and analyze it for themselves and not be given information that could be biased.
In other words, yes, the City for All party will try to use this tool to promote and explain its policies, but the larger goal of the project is so that anyone can take the data and analyze and interpret it for themselves rather than just trusting what city officials and party representatives have to say. The budget monitoring website also discloses that it is a project of the City for All movement. Noman alone recognized that building tools and hand-coding data from a PDF to a spreadsheet is not an efficient way to make the municipal budget accessible and useful when city officials could easily make a spreadsheet format of the budget available without any extra work. The tool is built to show city officials that whether they like it or not, their budget will be made available in an accessible format. But now the activists are using legal means to try and ensure that this happens straight from City Hall.
When we devised the campaign, we said that, first of all, we would like to raise the public and the principal issue and raise it through public tools and to public discourse. So, and we assumed that politically the municipality will not give in. Our main demand was and still is to get the budget in a usable format. So this was and still is our demand, and we raised it through our budget project, through the media, as we told you. Now, and we assumed that the city will not give in, because this is the kind of municipality that we have. And we saved and prepared the lawsuit in advance, with the help of the Israeli Movement for Freedom of Information, who actually wrote it after we asked them. And now there is a lawsuit, and the suit is goes against on the principal issue. I mean, it demands the municipality to pass on the budget in a format which can be automatically used.
No one alone are collecting signatures on a petition to show Tel Aviv City Council members that there is broad support and rationale for making municipal budgets available in formats that can be easily analyzed. We'll put a link to that petition on the case study, which you can find along with other case studies at transparency.globalvoicesonline.org. We have one more podcast coming this week on Guatemala Visible, and then we'll be taking the weekend off, and we'll be back on Monday. The background music on this podcast is titled Once by Israeli musician Dan Torin and is available under a Creative Commons non-commercial license. As always, this podcast is published under a Creative Commons attribution license. Actually, you know what? Let's ask DJ Spooky to explain what that means.
Hey, yo, what's up, y'all? This is DJ Spooky, that Subliminal Kid, giving y'all a wild style shout out. You're rolling with a podcast that's licensed under the Creative Commons license. So I just want to say, check it, download it, remix it, transform it. This is all about the Wild Style remix. So once again, Creative Commons, y'all, DJ Spooky, Wild Styles in your area.